Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules together. We have a list of appointees, executive appointments to consider today, so we will get on with it right now. So our first board is the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors. Stacy Chamberlain and Steve Zika is on the phone.
Yep, go ahead, Stacy, and we'll try to see what.
Great. Welcome, Stacy.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee, my name is Stacy Chamberlain, and I am the Executive Director of Oregon AFSCME. I've been with AFSCME for about 12 years, and I am a lifelong Oregonian. I went to Portland State University, and I got a bachelor's degree there, and I graduated from law school at Willamette right across the street. I have a deep interest in healthcare in my work with AFSCME. I've negotiated many contracts where healthcare and health insurance has been a major issue. I also have sat on the PEB board for a term. And so I am very well aware of a lot of the pressures that we're dealing with because of the health industry and health insurance and healthcare in this country. I also have a deep desire to serve my community and my state. And OHSU is a very important employer, obviously, in this region. Our members, we represent about 6,000 members up on the Hill, and they are very proud of the fact that they work at OHSU, and I think that speaks to the relationship that AFSCME does have with OHSU, and I have a background in dealing with those workers, have, I think, a unique perspective on OHSU going forward. Obviously, this seat isn't a labor seat, but I think that my background and my experience gives me a unique perspective to serve on the board. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Not that I would ever be biased, but this is a fabulous board from OHSU, which just by coincidence is in my district.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Why don't you stay there?
Okay.
Are you there?
Steve.
Mr. Zika.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and I'm joined by Vice Chair Senator Ferrioli and the other members of the committee. We would just like to hear a few words from you on why you want to be on the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors.
Thank you, Chairwoman Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Steve Zika, and I'm indeed talking to you from across the ocean in Asia today. The world has gotten smaller, and despite the many challenges, there are great opportunities. I'm honored to be under consideration for the OHSU Board of Directors. It confirmed I would bring a broad base of business and public service experience that I believe can help OHSU as it works to achieve its multiple missions in a dynamic environment. As a board member, I will take very seriously the obligation to steward the public missions of OHSU. The university plays a unique role in the state, and as a board member, I would take great care in fully understanding the implications of our decisions on OHSU's ability to carry out its missions and serve the state of Oregon. I would approach the position with thoughtfulness, balance, creativity, and an understanding of the important trust that is placed in OHSU by the legislature, the governor, and the people of Oregon. With the upcoming retirement of Joe Robertson, new leadership will be required to deal with many challenges, including an aging population, rising costs, and the need to attract and retain a quality workforce. Equally intriguing is the potential for major advancements in healthcare delivered based on innovative research and new age technology that could potentially lead to lower costs and better health outcomes. As someone who leads a company that is deeply invested in rural Oregon, I'm especially excited about what I sense is OHSU's deep commitment to educating students across Oregon and serving the entire state, not just the Portland region. I look forward to lending my skills and experience to help advance OHSU's goal of bettering the health and well-being of all Oregonians. Thank you for your consideration.
And thank you. And what time is it over there in Asia?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Well, you're up bright and early. We thought we were up bright and early today, but you beat us. So are there questions from the committee? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to appreciate the commentary about OHSU's role in supporting rural health care. The teaching facilities for physicians put doctors from OHSU in hospitals in rural communities for their rotations in residency, and plays a major role in our nursing corps education. So promises were made that OHSU would be statewide in reach. Those promises have been kept. So I appreciate the fact that that's on the radar of one of our appointees, and I guarantee you it's in the culture at OHSU to make sure that rural citizens get the same access to great health care wherever they live. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you, Mr. Zika, and thank you, Stacey Chamberlain. Okay, our next, we're going to skip ahead here to the Oregon Business Development Commission. Catherine Lamb will be joining us by phone because she has a time crunch. Hi, is this Catherine Lamb?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Committee on Rules, and with me is Vice Chair Farioli and the other members of the committee. Welcome, and please let us give us a few words on why you want to work for the Oregon Business Development Commission.
Sure. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators, for your time. My name is Catherine Lamb from Augustico. I am so honored and pleased to be a nominee to the Oregon Business Development Commission. As a commissioner, I look forward to bringing my experience and perspective to promote Oregon business. I am an owner of a small business with 5 restaurant locations in the Portland metro area and the airport. My company provides jobs to about 80 employees in Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington County. In addition to running my business, I have had the opportunity to travel on 2 Oregon State trade missions to Asia. I have seen firsthand on how business Oregon, ODA, and public agency work with Oregon businesses, large and small, to promote business opportunities here in Oregon and abroad. If confirmed, I look forward to working with the commission to continue making Oregon a great place to do business. Thank you again for your time.
And thank you. Are there questions from the committee? I'm seeing no questions. We will vote on your appointment at the end of the meeting. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, next we'll move to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Cheryl Caddy and Annette Cole. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Farioli and members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Caddy, and I'm the nurse administrator, nurse educator at Lynn Benton Community College. It's my honor to be a nominee to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and it would be my sincerest privilege to represent nursing education on the board. I bring with me a long career in nursing, both as a direct care provider, in my background also as a legal defense representative for licensees before the board, and most currently as a nurse educator. I've had the privilege of serving on many statewide committees. Some of those have been with the board on their practice committee and currently on the Nursing Education Advisory Group. Also, I've worked with the Oregon Center for Nursing with their nursing faculty shortage workforce and the Oregon Council of Associate Degree and License Programs. We meet regularly as well. And as I said, I have a long nursing career and bring with me various perspectives with nursing. Nursing is something that is very dear to me, as is the, dictum of the nursing board, which is to protect the citizens of Oregon and protect nursing care, upholding those standards and high standards of nursing education. And I appreciate your consideration for me of this post.
Thank you. Ms. Cole.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Annette Cole, and I'm from Klamath Falls, and I'm the nominee for the nurse administrator position on the Board of Nursing. I've been a registered nurse for 31 years, and during that time, I've been fortunate to have worked in a variety of practice settings and clinical areas with the bulk of my experience in critical care. I've also served as a member of the board's nursing practice committee. I've been a nurse leader since 2005, and I'm currently the chief nursing officer at Sky Lakes Medical Center, which is the school community hospital in Klamath Falls. As a nursing leader, one of my primary responsibilities is ensuring the safety of the patients who receive care in my community. I'm excited for the opportunity to expand that to the state level with the board's mission to safeguard the public health and well-being and oversee nursing practice. I believe that my experience has helped prepare me for this service, and I'm honored to be a nominee. I thank you very much for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? No questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Patrick Ludke will join us by phone as a nominee for the Oregon Cannabis Commission. Dr. Ludke?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Ginny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Committee on Rules, and with me is Vice Chair Ferrioli and the other members of the committee. So welcome, and please let us have a few words on why you want to be on the Oregon Cannabis Commission.
Very good. Happy to do so. So I am Dr. Patrick Lutke. I'm a primary care and preventive medicine doc. I began my career in the U.S. Navy as a medical officer and served as a physician on a variety of ships and clinics and hospitals on all three of America's coasts and a good deal overseas as well. After my career, I entered academia for 5 years, served as a public health professor at the University of Utah. And then later, also in Utah, I moved on to the State Health Department, first as the deputy state epidemiologist and then the state epidemiologist. And then later, I ran the state public health laboratory for Utah. And currently, I have been in Oregon for 6 years, and my job here is the Lane County Public Health Officer and the Chief Medical Officer of our FQHC clinics. We have 8 clinics that are part of that complex. About 20 hours in each one, 20 hours in public health and 20 hours in patient care. And I will say, really, in terms of interest, in those two capacities, one in public health, one in patient care, I see every day the pluses and minuses of marijuana use. I have patients all the time interested, whether it's patients themselves or the parents or the guardians. And with my public health hat on, I deal a great deal with population health level issues around marijuana access, whether it's medical marijuana or retail. So I'm quite interested in the clinical as well as sort of the administrative legal aspects of it. And I will stop there.
Okay, thank you. We actually have 3 members on this committee who are on the legislative marijuana legalization joint committee, Senator Ferrioli, Senator Beyer, and myself. And so we have probably drilled into this a little more than the average bear. One of the concerns that I've had all the way along in terms of the medical program is the huge number of cards that are issued by some individual physicians. And I wanted to see if you had any thoughts on that and maybe just what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I do think that there we're in the steep part of the curve on the learning phase of how to respond to basically the word of our population that they want more access to marijuana. I personally do not feel that we figured it out to the best of population health. I have worries as well about our youth especially, and some worries on the medical side, but more worries on the retail or recreational marijuana side, but worries on both. And I think that we can clearly do better in terms of access with administrative systems. And we're learning. We're not where we need to be yet.
Okay. Other questions from the committee?
I'm sure.
Senator Ferrioli.
Only an observation. Until the prohibition against search is lifted, many of the questions that the doctors expressed can't be answered. So I'm hoping that at some point Congress will act to remove prohibitions against federal funding for any research facility that does research in cannabis. That just seems really illogical to me. But as we move forward on this deep learning curve, as the doctors just said, perhaps that will become self-evident to others as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Thank you, Dr. Lutke.
That was a pleasure. I apologize for not being there in person. Today was my day in clinic, and, you know, we schedule those clinic visits usually 90 days out, and I didn't want to cancel all my patients. So I appreciate the opportunity to do this electronically.
Well, we appreciate your priorities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, Jean Marie Halleck.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and Senators. My name is Jean Marie Halleck. I am currently the Research and Program Director at City Club of Portland and formerly with Classroom Law Project, both powerhouses of volunteerism in the Portland metro area. I have worked with volunteers my whole professional career, which is starting to be longer than I'd like to admit, and truly believe in the value of ordinary citizens finding meaningful ways to change their communities through volunteering and civil service. I would be honored to serve with Oregon Volunteers, and I've taken the minute requirement very seriously, so thank you very much.
Everyone else pay attention to what you just said. All right, thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Next, we have the director of the Oregon Health Authority, Patrick Allen.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. Members of the committee, Patrick Allen. I'm currently serving as the director of the Health Authority pending confirmation. Prior to starting at OHA at the beginning of September, I worked for the last 13 years at the Department of Consumer and Business Services, including the past six as director. Prior to that, I spent about a decade at the Economic Development Department. I'm a lifelong Oregonian, grew up in Northeast Portland, attended Oregon State, and currently live in Sherwood, where I served for about a dozen years on the Planning Commission, including a number of years as chair, and I'm currently in my second term, on the Sherwood School Board. Mm-hmm. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Mm. You certainly will have your hands full.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we will take up the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Ming Brink and Nancy Young Oliver.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and the senators. My name is Ming Brink. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I work for Precision Cast Parts as a state tax manager, and I currently serve on the board of Tax Executive Institute Portland Chapter, where we provide services and continuing education opportunities to tax professionals in the major companies in Oregon, such as Nike, Greenbrier, Tektronix, and Mentor Graphic. I moved to Oregon from Beijing almost 13 years ago, attended Portland State, and received a degree in accounting, became a CPA in 2010, and have worked in both public accounting and private industry. It's been a great journey and definitely a rewarding career. It's an honor to be nominated to serve on the Board of Accountancy for the State of Oregon. I have a great respect for my fellow CPAs, and I believe the CPAs are some of the most important gatekeepers in the financial system of the state. I see this as an opportunity for me to give back to my profession and the community. I will bring my services and value to the Board of Accountancy. And thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Ferrioli and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to come before you as a nominee for a governor's appointment to the Board of Accountancy. My name is Nancy Young Oliver, and I am from Beaverton, Oregon. I'm a licensed certified public accountant, certified information systems auditor, certified fraud examiner, and licensed municipal auditor. I have over 20 years of experience from working at the Oregon Secretary of State Audits Division for 10 years, Moss Adams for almost 9 years, and now I currently work at TriMet serving as their Director of Budget and Grants Administration. I'm also an adjunct professor at Portland State University teaching governmental accounting and forensic and investigative accounting. And I'm currently serving the Board of Accountancy in the capacity of chair for the Complaints Committee. I'm interested in serving on the board, first, to give back to a profession that has been so very good to me. And one way to do that is to serve on a committee or the board. I also believe that the board has a very important role in protecting the public and regulating the practice and performance of all services provided by licensees. I believe my experience in the industry with my certifications and broad background gives me a unique position to contribute positively to the board in carrying out those responsibilities. And again, I just appreciate the ability to sit here before you today.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
Very good.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. We have Anthony, well, let's take Elizabeth Waddell first, then we'll have Anthony Jordan by phone. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Fiorelli, members of the committee. I'm Elizabeth Waddell. I am assistant professor at the Oregon Health and Science University, Portland State University School of Public Health, where I direct the online Master of Public Health program in primary health care and health disparities. And I'm a co-investigator on National Institute on Drug Abuse Clinical Trials Network at OHSU. I am very appreciative of the opportunity to serve on the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission for Oregon. As a health services researcher and as an educator, it's a personal goal of mine to bridge the gap between evidence-based research and practice and policy, and I hope to bring the knowledge of my fellow researchers and practitioners to the committee.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? We will be counting on you to solve the opioid crisis.
That's right.
Okay, now
thank
we'll
you.
Take Anthony Jordan by phone. Mr. Jordan.
Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I chair the Senate Committee on Rules, and with me is Vice Chair Farioli and the other members of the committee. So welcome, and please give us a few words on why you'd like to be on the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senator. As you said, my name is Anthony Jordan. I'm from Montgomery County District 23, and I've been appointed to serve on the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. Excuse me. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. With over 20 years of experience in the addiction field. Trust served as the addiction service manager for the Multnomah County Health and Addiction Services Division. I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in public administration from Portland State University. In addition, I am a certified addiction counselor too, certified recovery mentor, and a person with over 25 years of long-term sobriety. Based on my background and personal experience with alcohol and drugs, my interest in serving on the Governor's Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission is to offer a provider and recovery lens to lawmakers when alcohol and drug policies are being created or enacted. Also, as a person of color, I want to ensure that my community has a voice when alcohol and drug policies are being created or enacted so that policymakers understand the impact it may cause on the African American community. In closing, I'd like to thank you, Chair Burdick, and your committee for allowing me to share my interest and wanting to serve on this commission, and it would be a great honor. I look forward to working with other members of the commission in solving our alcohol and drug problems through effective policy. Thank you.
And thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, thank you very much. We'll take up your appointment at the end of the meeting.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Okay, now we have the Commission for the Blind, Samrawit Biyazian. No. Biyazam.
That's it.
Welcome. Please let us know how we should have said your name.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Fraley, and all the committee members. It is such a privilege to be a nominee on the board of the Oregon Commission for the Blind. I am originally from Ethiopia.
Would you put your name on the record for our record? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Samrawit Biazan, and I am originally from Ethiopia. I have been here for 5 years, and back home I was a lawyer and a disability movement activist, not only in Ethiopia but also in Africa. And coming here, I thought my life was over. But that wasn't the case. Because of the service I got from the Oregon Commission for the Blind, I achieved so many things and I was able to become successful. I was independent because of the blindness skills I was trained by the commission, and I was on top of my class. I go to PSU. I am about to graduate in accounting, and I already got a job offer from one of the accounting, public accounting firms. All this is because of the commission, and I want other clients to be successful just like I am. And it's such an honor to be on the board of the Oregon Commission of the Blind, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Your story is very inspiring, so thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Okay, next we will have the Building Code Structures Board, Kale Zuschlag.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, especially for the pronunciation of my name. Yeah, that was really well done. And members of the committee, and thank you for your consideration on the Oregon buildings.
You do need to put your name on the record again.
My name is Kale Zuschlag, and thank you for your consideration for the Oregon Buildings Code Structures Board. Outside of living abroad for Peace Corps, I've been a lifelong Oregonian and lived here. I started my construction career at age 8, helping my father with his small contracting business. And I am an electrician currently and started the electrical industry about 17 years ago. I've worked in a lot of different capacity of electrical construction, from solar to heavy commercial industrial, and it's very code heavy, that industry. I believe that we need to make sure we have structures here in Oregon that are not compromising the safety of our Oregonians, but at the same time that we're modernizing our energy efficiencies, and we're not holding back industry from growing at the same time. So, I'm honored for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Carl, I'm curious. One of the current debates we're having across the state is tiny homes, little issues in front of the structures board now. What do you think about that?
I like the concept of tiny homes. I feel like there is some areas of the code that could be specialized for them, you know, like clearances for stairways that would be unpractical in a small home like that. I don't think that we should chip away at the safety of those buildings just to make them cheaper. And that's my personal feeling. I mean, being an electrician, when things go awry, it's usually badly. And so I'm a little conservative, maybe conservative in those areas. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have appointees to the Oregon Cannabis Commission, and we'll take them in two panels because we have five people. So we'll start out with Esther Chu, Dr. Esther Chu, Dr. Rachel Knox, and Anthony Taylor.
Cannabis. Cannabis.
Should I go first? Chair Verdict, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Esther Chu. I'm an emergency medicine physician. I did my undergraduate degree and medical degree at Yale University, completed my emergency medicine residency at Boston University, and also came to Oregon and did a health services research fellowship at OHSU. I also have my MPH, my Master of Public Health degree from OHSU. I'm currently an attending emergency medicine physician in the departments at OHSU and at the Portland VA Medical Center. I'm core research faculty in the Center for Policy and Research in Emergency Medicine, and I'm affiliate faculty at the OHSU PSU School of Public Health. So what we do at the Center of Policy and Research is we take a wide variety of data sources and we use them to examine the effect of policy on health outcomes. My particular area of research is in looking at the effect of state policy and organizational policy on drug use and drug-related outcomes. I am very interested in particular in the complex methodology involved in studying the effects of state cannabis laws and also at the intersection of cannabis use and opiate use. And I will say that my research heart grew a little bit with your comment, Senator Ferrioli, about the restrictions on cannabis research. I have reviewed the tasks of the Cannabis Commission. I feel that I can advance them very well given my background as a practicing physician, my experience as a federally funded researcher, and my commitment to public health, and I'd be honored to serve on it.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Dr. Rachel Knox. Okay, is that a little too close?
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes I don't speak loud enough. Outside of my education and training, I am a lifelong Oregonian. I am a practicing cannabis and cannabinoid specialist and member of the American Academy of Cannabinoid Medicine. As a founding member of the American Cannabinoid Clinics here in Oregon, I have both a passion for and a commitment to providing Oregon patients with compassionate, comprehensive, and integrative cannabis care. I have seen firsthand how Oregon patients have combated chronic pain and other debilitating conditions with cannabis medicine to an improved quality of life. I also serve on several other cannabis business and policy-related associations, committees, and cabinets, both locally and nationally. And this has provided me with a broad knowledge base of the social, political, research, and economic interests of cannabis legalization and regulation. I want to serve on Oregon's Cannabis Commission because I want to use my expertise to engage meaningfully with other leaders in discourse that will lead to the development of practices and processes necessary for initiating and maintaining the highest standards of medical cannabis research, clinical study, production consistency and safety, testing and labeling accuracy, education, product access to patients, and clinical care that is possible. In many ways, adult use access has made cannabis use as medicine more complicated and confusing for patients, despite the OMP's best efforts. What's exciting is that this commission can help lead our medical program into becoming one that's exemplary, rallying together all stakeholders, researchers, clinicians, laboratories, growers and processors, public officials, and others, to develop a well-structured, responsible, sustainable, informative, an effective program that can impact and improve cannabis medicine research and integration into healthcare, as well as honor our patients' hopes, expectations, and needs. It's an honor to be nominated for this appointment. I appreciate the opportunity to sit before you all today, and it would be my pleasure to serve on this commission. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferry, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Anthony Taylor. I'm president and co-founder of Compassionate Oregon, a nonprofit organization advocating for medical cannabis patients since 2013. I want to first thank the governor's office for putting forth such a well-rounded, diverse, and capable slate of nominees for your consideration. I am deeply honored to be one of those nominees, and if given the opportunity to serve at the pleasure of the governor on this newly formed commission, I would consider it a great privilege. As a decades-long activist, the opportunity to serve on the commission and be part of the future of Oregon's medical marijuana program is a great responsibility, and should I be confirmed, I will dedicate myself to the success of the commission. Most of the members on this committee are already familiar with my advocacy work here in the building and the successes and failures that Compassionate Oregon has seen over the last five sessions. I look forward to participating in this commission's work in shaping Oregon's medical marijuana program into one that will provide the framework for the future of cannabis as medicine in Oregon and serve as a resource for patients, healthcare professionals, and the state of Oregon itself. A program other states could look to as a blueprint to successfully manage an existing medical program, even though their states have legalized a recreational use. The commission could actually begin to provide the answer to the question, now that marijuana is legal, what do we need a medical program for? Thank you again for your consideration of my nomination. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Okay, next we'll have on this same commission Andre Urso and Jesse Sweet.
That's interesting.
Which part?
Okay. Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Andre Uso with the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division, and I'm currently the administrator for the Center for Health Protection, which includes programs such as drinking water, environmental public health, health licensing office, and of course the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Prior to this position, I was the manager of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program since November of 2015. And I'm interested in serving the committee because I do have an interest in ensuring that cannabis remains a therapeutic option for Oregonians and has done so with the best available scientific evidence. I'm honored to be considered for this committee, and I'd be happy to answer any of the questions.
Welcome, Jesse.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Jesse Sweet. I am the Director of Administrative Policy and Process for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. I've been with the commission since 2010. I work on both alcohol beverage and cannabis issues, although for the last 3 years plus, I've been primarily focused on cannabis. In addition to legislative work, I advise our commissioners. I implement the programs by supervising our administrative rulemaking process, and I run our hearings unit. The commission in question has a lot of work before it. There's a lot of difficult questions, but I appreciate the opportunity to serve, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Questions from the committee? Nope, thank you. Okay, next we have the Governor's Child Foster Care Advisory Commission, Denise Loredich.
Thank you, Senator Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Senator Ferroli. And senators, this is a bit nerve-wracking for me. This morning I woke up and I got into the shower.
Can you put your name on the...
Oh, I'm Denise Loredich from Josephine County, Grants Pass, Oregon. But this morning I woke up, stepped into the shower on a huge razor blade, which cut my foot open, and then I had to change my whole outfit, so that's why I'm not dressed like everyone else, and I feel completely silly. But anyways, I got here
to back away from the mic a little bit.
I got here with the bleeding foot and unzipped shoes and all, so.
That's dedication.
I'm honored and extremely excited to be a nominee for the Governor's Child Foster Care Advisory Commission. I am the mother of six awesome children.
two of which being as a result of our foster care career. We were foster parents for approximately 6 years, and during that time we experienced much of the brokenness in the system. Our adoption finalized last May, and I feel like going through the system, it took me time to recover from it, and I feel like it was a lack of accountability on the department's behalf. And I'm not here to put anybody down. I feel like these children need a voice, and it takes people like us to step up and be the voice for the children. So, that's all really I have to say.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you. Go take care of that foot.
Thank you.
The Electrical and Elevator Board, John Flagel.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Co-Chair Ferrioli, Senators. My name is John Flagel. I reside in Southern Oregon and Phoenix, Oregon. I am been an electrician for 22 years in the state of Oregon. I also have 9 years representing the electricians of Southern Oregon and two utilities in Oregon, Central Lake and PUD and EWEB. And I appreciate your consideration for an appointment to the Electrical and Elevator Board.
Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Short and sweet. Okay, the Employment Appeals Board, Susanna Elba.
Good afternoon, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. I am Susanna Alba, and I am a law graduate of Lewis and Clark Law School, graduated in 1989. Throughout my career, I've been in private practice, a small law firm in downtown Portland. I was later self-employed, later was the managing attorney for a not-for-profit legal clinic in Hillsboro. I'm back to being self-employed. I most recently served on the Juvenile Psychiatric Security Review Board. I was on that board for 10 years. It was a quasi-judicial board, much like the Employment Appeals Board is. I am seeking confirmation to be a board member of the Employment Appeals Board because I believe that I can make a difference in the lives of the litigants to come before the board. I am committed to providing each litigant with a careful and respectful review of the issues impacting them. I am committed to being a compassionate listener and applying the law objectively. You have my resume. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. One common thread in my law practice and the JPSRB is that I've dealt with people in hardship, which I think it's true of the Employment Appeals Board.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. We'll start out with Celeste Polici.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and the rest of the committee. My name is Celeste Polici, and I'd like to thank you for your consideration for the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. I have been a middle school health and science teacher for the past 13 years at Cracksburger Middle School in Gladstone, Oregon. I was there this morning teaching my students about contraception. I'm here because I also have work within the Gladstone Teacher Association. I was the president of our local union for a number of years. I also will be serving as the bargaining chair of our local union for the third time this year. And I am a recent graduate of the Emerge Oregon program.
I am very interested in this board because it seems like a great combination of my skills and my interests. Ensuring due process is very important to me. It was very important as my with my work in the Gladstone Teacher Association, and it's important for me as a teacher with my students also. Something else that's very important to me is ensuring the safety of my students and ensuring the safety of all students. And I believe that there's an intersection there with the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. And I have a particular interest in education law and contract interpretation. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Right, thank you. Next we have for the same board by phone, Marcia Moyer. Ms. Moyer?
Yes, good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon. I'm Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Committee on Rules, and with me is Vice Chair Senator Farioli and the other members of the committee. So if you could just give us a few words on why you want to be on the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board.
It would be my pleasure. I'm Marcia Benjamin Moyer, and I am being considered for the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. I sincerely regret that I can't be present with you this afternoon, but I assure you that my absence today is in no way a reflection of my commitment. I was asked to briefly share with you my interest in wanting to serve on the board, and that's very easy for me. You see, I was raised to believe that there's no greater gift that I can give than of myself. And the belief that every child deserves a quality education, that's more than mere rhetoric for me. You see, my great-grandparents reared me in the backwoods of Louisiana, and if it had not been for caring, compassionate, and competent educators, I would not be the person I am today. And for me, I'm a person in my family who broke the cycle of generational poverty, and I credit my success to my education. And I want to serve on this Fair Dismissal Appeals Board as a way of giving back and as a way of helping to ensure that every child, every day, is served by a competent educator. I recognize the depth and the scope of educating students today, but the job is complex, it's demanding, and it's very rewarding for those who are passionate about the profession. As a former director of staff quality and licensed personnel for the Salem-Keizer School District, I also know what effective education is, I know what it looks like, and what evidence there should be that it exists. And it is for these reasons that I want to serve on the Fair Dismissal Appeal Board, ensure that all educators are treated fairly and viewed through unbiased lens, and to ensure that every child exit our schools, college, and career ready.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? No questions? All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your consideration.
Our next board is the Health Evidence Review Commission, Adrienne Irwin.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and other members of the committee. My name is Adrienne Irwin. I am a clinical assistant professor with the OSU-OHSU College of Pharmacy. In that position, I spend about 50% of my time practicing as a pharmacist at the Monroe Health Center, which is a federally qualified health center in the South Willamette Valley, predominantly serving patients on the Oregon Health Plan that are assigned to the IHN or Trillium CCOs. That site serves as a training ground for students that are enrolled in the Professional Doctor of Pharmacy program. Prior to joining the college's faculty, I completed a general practice residency at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center and then a two-year research fellowship at Kaiser Permanente, Colorado in ambulatory care and practice-based research. My background is primarily in leveraging pharmacy services to improve performance on quality metrics within value-based reimbursement models. I look forward to the opportunity to serve on this committee and think that my background in both clinical practice and also research experience will assist the Oregon Health Authority in prioritizing health spending. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you. Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee, Jennifer Wielander.
Hello, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Farioli.
My name is Jennifer Wielander. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at St. Charles Health System in Bend, Oregon, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today and to hopefully in the future serve on the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee. I am a native Oregonian, and I got my education at the University of Oregon. I've had the opportunity to serve the communities in Central Oregon through St. Charles since 2009. And in my current role, I'm very active in deploying our community health initiatives. I work with the CCO in planning the payment models and care models that we use for the OHP members, and I work with all the insurers to bring health insurance and health care to Central Oregon. So I hope that these experiences will provide a valuable input and a rural perspective to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee, and I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Vanessa Becker.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and Senators Beyer, Boquist, and Roblin. My name is Vanessa Becker, and I'm delighted to be here today and greatly appreciate the opportunity to address you. I'm a native Oregonian, but come here to you today from Roseburg, where I've lived and worked for 20 years. I'll make my comments short to be respectful of our time, but start with expressing gratitude for being nominated to the HEC and for your consideration for my confirmation. My motivation and interest in serving in this capacity stems from my 8 years serving as a trustee on Umpqua Community College Board of Education. I led as chair for 5 of the 8 years and chose not to run again for a third term this last spring, and so I've been looking for a way to stay engaged in policy and governance in higher education around the state. And there's many positive experiences I can actually speak to in my interactions with HEC while at UCC, but being witness to their support and technical assistance on the ground as we responded to our violent tragedy in October of 2015 at the community college was certainly the most impactful. The leadership provided by HEC was felt deep and wide, and I would be honored to be part of a commission that I know has tremendous impact around the state, an impact that I've witnessed firsthand. I'm happy to share additional thoughts and answer questions about my desire to serve on the HEC, but I'm cognizant of our time constraints. Thank you again, Chair Burdick and Senators, for your time and devotion to this process.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Lane Transit District Board, April Wick. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and members of the committee. My name is April Wick, and I am a resident of Eugene. I am honored to come before you as a nominee to the Lane Transit District Board of Directors. I bring a lifetime of experience as a public transit user, as well as over a decade of experience advocating for accessible transit options to the table. I am excited about the opportunity to be a good steward of public funds and ensure a sustainable future for Lane County Transit. Thank you again, Chair Burdick and Senators, for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Sorry, we had a pencil issue.
It's okay.
Here,
so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. State Board of Licensed Social Workers, Stephanie Manriquez. There we go.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Manriquez, and I come here from beautiful Bend, Oregon, to appear before you today. I'm a licensed massage therapist. I'm a retired massage therapy program director from Central Oregon Community College. I currently teach a business class in the massage therapy program at COCC, and I teach 2 online continuing education classes for massage therapists in ethics and professional conduct. I have always volunteered in my massage community with our professional organizations, and it has shown me that this experience as a volunteer has given me the understanding how important it is to be involved and in my community and to have respect and communication at all times for all parties involved. When working with the social workers board, I want to make sure that everyone is respected and is acknowledged for what they do. I'm happy to be nominated to sit on this board, and it's an honor to be able to serve my community again if nominated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon Medical Board, Dr. Andrew Schenck.
Chair Burdick and fellow committee members, my name is Dr. Andrew Schenck, and I am the nominee for the Oregon Medical Board. I'm a lifelong resident of Oregon, born and raised in Southeast Portland, attended Cleveland High School and Oregon State University. I've been practicing in Eugene since 1979. I've been active in my profession, both as chairman or president of our association, chairman of the peer review committee, and other committees. I've also served on the credentials committee of Sacred Heart Hospital, which is a miniature Oregon Medical Board, if you will, and that was a four-year term doing similar activities. I've also been the medical executive director on the medical executive committee, I should say, of the McKinsey Surgery Center since 1996, doing similar duties. I believe I'm well prepared to assume this position with the board, and I look forward to doing that with your support, as well as working for the citizens of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
Good.
All right. Thanks. Okay. State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, Randy Chaden. Let's see if I got that one right.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee. Thank you for saying my name correctly. My name is Randy Jaden, the silent T, and I live in Sherwood, Oregon. I am the founder and current owner and president of Cascade Funeral Directors Incorporated, and I have worked in virtually every aspect of funeral service in Oregon since 1985, and our company has locations throughout the metropolitan area, including here in Salem. We serve approximately 25% of the families that experience deaths in our region. And I have worked very closely with the Oregon Mortuary and Cemetery Board for many, many years, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with them by serving on this board and giving back to an industry and a community that have been very good to me. I appreciate your consideration, and thank you very much.
Thank you. I didn't pronounce your name right. It's Jaden, right?
Jaden, yes. Jaden.
Oh. That was my second choice.
you did better than almost anyone.
Thank you. That's very diplomatic of you. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine, Joanna Friedman.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Fioroli, and members of the committee, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. My name is Joanna Friedman. I'm a physical therapist and been licensed in the state of Oregon for 34 years. I served on the Physical Therapist Licensing Board for 8 years, 4 years as chair. I know healthcare licensing boards have difficulty finding public members, and I think my unique experience serving for 8 years would gives me the experience that I can be an immediate contributing member on that board, and I'd like to thank you for your time and consideration this afternoon.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Matthew Melitas for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
Thank you for having me. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Matthew Melitas. I am a candidate for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. First, I'm honored and excited to have the opportunity to lend my experience to furthering the mission of the OLCC. My life and career has been focused around the industries regulated by the commission. Previously, my family owned and operated businesses which focused on wholesale and distribution of beer and wine. However, my career has been focused on the retail side of beer, wine, and liquor industries, including such ventures as Langdon Farms Golf Club, the Agency Ultra Lounge, and Portland Historic Brasserie Momar. In addition, I'm currently in development on two projects in the hospitality industry, which will be licensed by OLCC. I have a firsthand understanding of the connections and interactions between retail, wholesale, and production interests, and I'm eager to bring that experience to bear at the OLCC. As an additional bonus, I've gained significant experience in the cannabis industry, serving on OLCC advisory committees and working with top businesses and organizations in the industry. That experience, I believe, will help as the OLCC continues to implement the legislature's work. I see my role as helping to bring context to complex decisions and bringing the perspective I've gained over my life and career in the industry while examining the best ways to maintain a robust business climate, ensure public safety, and to generally maintain and improve the quality of the regulatory environment surrounding the industry. Thank you, and I'm pleased to answer any questions.
Questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Farrelly.
As a licensee, mm-hmm. And if you're confirmed as a board member, it may be inevitable that there will be conflicts of interest. How will you handle those?
I kind of take my role as a commissioner seriously. I would have read the mission of the OLCC, and that's what I would be abide myself by. I wouldn't allow those conflicts to interfere with my position as a commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Boquist.
I just want to clarify the record to make sure. I mean, you've had a wide range of experience, and as you pointed out, you've worked with OLCC, so therefore I assume, just for the record, that, you know, you've actually been the licensee, or at least on the license of a variety of establishments, correct?
Currently, I'm an application on a project underway, and in the past, I've been a license of three separate entities that have been licensees of the OLCC.
Follow-up. Considering I did not serve on the joint pot committee, just for the record, it might be improper nomenclature, but I could be censored any time on the floor on Wednesday if you'd like, Madam Chair. Having said that, I mean, as you know, this is a sort of an experimental state experiment we're going through, and hopefully for everybody's benefit to this point, you know, it will be, you know, quite successful as we go along and do that. Having said that, there are times when boards and commissions tend to look like deer in the headlight when the staff comes to them. I'm just looking for some assurances that, you know, when you serve on this commission, because unlike the Cannabis Commission we heard earlier, it's a commission in which it's got some medical establishment to it and a little bit protected. Should the feds decide at a later time to get anxious with the state of Oregon, are you prepared to get anxious with the OLCC staff as a commissioner to ensure Oregon meets compliance requirements?
Absolutely. I think the only way that this industry is able to exist is by strong adherence to what the federal government is dictating at this point, which is, you know, they've issued a number of statements, and I think that it's important to always be well-versed in those and able to implement the rules of the commission, but also still have a strong eye towards where the federal policies are headed and what they are.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Our next commission is the Board of Trustees for Oregon State University. It's Julie Manning.
Julie.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farrelly, and members of the committee. Thank you for providing this opportunity for me to briefly introduce myself to you. I'm Julie Manning, and I'm honored to be considered as a nominee to serve on the Oregon State University Board of Trustees. As a 32-year resident of Corvallis and its former mayor, I see on a daily basis how OSU enriches and enhances the quality of life in our community. I'm pleased that these opportunities are also being further developed in Bend and in Newport, and that OSU's mission as a land-grant university extends learning opportunities to residents throughout Oregon and beyond. During my four-year term as mayor, which concluded in 2014, I worked closely with President Ray and other university leaders in a multi-year collaboration designed to develop strategies for addressing a variety of topics of mutual interest between the city and OSU. That effort fostered numerous successes, and I gained new insight and knowledge about the university, its vision, and its goals. In light of these experiences, I believe I can offer the Board of Trustees the perspective of both a Corvallis resident who values OSU's role in the local community, as well as someone who understands how OSU serves Oregon more broadly as an educational, research, and economic development leader. In addition, as a former high school and college teacher and an advocate of lifelong learning, I have a personal and professional interest in supporting the critically important role of education in each of our lives. It would be a distinct pleasure and privilege to serve OSU and its larger community as a member of its Board of Trustees. Thank you for considering me for this unique opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we will ask our vice chair to go down to the other side of the dais and call up Senator Richard Devlin to consider their appointments to the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council.
You want to vote donation notice
on my for heaven's sake.
How about we need to get unanimous consent for this?
I thought you just weren't late enough, Senator Boquist.
Fashionably late, Madam Chair. Fashionably late.
Welcome. Thank you, Madam Chair. If the committee has completed its kibitzing,
yep.
Senator Ted Ferrioli, District 30. I am very, very interested in serving on the Northwest Power Planning and Conservation Council, and I believe I'm uniquely qualified to serve on that commission for the following reasons. Early in my career, I was honored to be tapped to help author the Oregon Plan for Salmon Restoration. That was extremely rigorous work. It involved a joint committee, was bipartisan, bicameral, and if you recall, very few of you were in the building at the time, Senator Burdick, you were.
I was on the committee.
You were there. The difficulty was we were facing the listing of the Oregon Coastal Coho Salmon, and it looked like it was going to shut down not only the coast, but be significantly impactful on all of our forestry and fishing and agricultural operations. We were successful in writing a plan that met the requirements that the federal government had set for avoiding a listing. Unfortunately, the plan was litigated. We ended up with a listing anyway and went immediately into the stream restoration and salmon recovery planning process, and I chaired that committee on the Senate side as well. I also got an opportunity, as my colleague has, to serve on the subcommittee for natural resources for Ways and Means, where we dealt with budgets and financial concerns and considerations for all of our natural resource agencies. I've been a member of the Legislative Commission on River Governance and served with co-members from Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Oregon, uniquely concerned with the same sorts of issues: natural resource, salmon restoration, tribal treaty issues, navigation, river flows, spill, and electrical energy generation. So those are all issues that I've had a little experience working with my colleagues from other states on. I was also a member of the Oregon Hanford Cleanup Board, which has to do with trying to deal from the Oregon perspective with the pollution resulting from years of nuclear power development and nuclear weapons production in the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. So when you add those things up, you maybe realize that I've had some experience in these issues, but the thing that compels me more than anything else is that water and power are the two most critical issues for rural Oregon. Access to water, how it's used, water quality, maintenance of habitat to keep water quality and temperature, and how that affects fish and wildlife are critical issues for rural Oregon. And as well, the access to low-cost hydropower. The largest industrial user of hydropower in rural Oregon is for irrigation pumping. So it's absolutely critical for the health and well-being of the economic underpinning of our communities. Those are the issues that we'll be dealing with directly on the Northwest Power Planning and Conservation Council. I hope I have your support. I'm looking forward to the challenge of helping to rewrite not only the power plan, but the Fish and Wildlife Plan as well over the next 5 to 8 years.
Thank you. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am glad to be here today. I am glad to be here with my colleague, Senator Farioli, who I will remind you, even though we have the same period of time in the legislature, in the Senate, he is senior to me because I started my first 6 years in the House. I have been in the legislature 21 years.
So senior
years.
To you, he actually remembered to put his name on the record.
Yes.
Take it.
Okay. I seldom testify, but for the record, Senator Richard Devlin. I have actually revised this statement numerous times today, so I won't reiterate what I've already said. I've been in the legislature 21 years. I have been an elected official 31 out of the last 33 years. I could recite all of my experience in the legislature on natural resources and technology-related issues, and I probably should recite some of that because in the legislature it's kind of interesting because when you do something for a couple of years, people forget what you did in the past. So I have served on natural resources committees in the legislature as the co-chair of the Ways and Means Committee and as a member of the Ways and Means Committee. I've been the subcommittee chair for natural resources for two bienniums. I've actually had purview over that committee for as the co-chair, including those times, for a decade. I have actually been very involved in telecommunication issues, though that does not relate to this particular assignment. And I have been very involved relative to improvements in sustainable technology, being one of the longest-serving board members for the Built Environment Sustainable Technology Signature Research Center that we have that looks at these issues. But regardless of all that background, I think the reality is here is I've known each one of you either for more than 20 years or since the time you began service in the legislature. And anything I could say here today would be minor compared to how you feel about my service and how you feel about our shared service. I think I was selected for this position by the governor because she believes I have the intellect to address the issues before the commission. She believes in my work ethic, and she believes I make reasonably good judgments. I know that although I've been selected by the governor and I have accepted the appointment, that appointment has to be confirmed, a recommendation from this committee and by my colleagues in the full Senate. And I'm here today to ask for that recommendation. I will tell you that I very much look forward to this. I see it as a challenge. I believe that the work the council does, whether it's planning for the power needs of this four-state region for 20 years, which they have done now, they've issued 7 separate plans, the most recent just last year, or whether it's on the fish and wildlife, where they've issued a similar number of plans that they've actually revised 18 times since they've actually begun. And those issues have become much more contentious in recent years from a litigation standpoint. So there are some very significant issues there. I would tell you that I believe that in all of this, what the governor was looking for and what I'm hoping you're looking for is our ability to broadly look at these issues, to understand the issues that are presented before us, to listen to people. We have very capable staff both in each one of our state offices for the council and in the central office, staff that are devoted to fish and wildlife issues, staff that are devoted to power policy, power related issues. We have a large number of stakeholders that actually come to the council. We have numerous advisory committees, and I think what people are looking for is that we will take the interest, that we have the intellect to be able to address these issues, and that we will exercise good judgment, because both Senator Farioli and I are there to represent the interests of the people of the state of Oregon and to work with our other three states in that interstate compact for the welfare of the entire region. Now, I'm prepared here today to answer any question you might have about energy policy or any question you might have about fish and wildlife, but if you'd like to ask me that, I believe I could probably go on for another 5 to 10 minutes, and I have spent the weekend reviewing the budget submission for the Bonneville Power Administration, just so I could check on some things, and so I think you all know me, and you know how thorough I am. I don't expect, like that old saying, if we always agreed, one of us wouldn't be doing our job. But I believe I have the intellect. I believe I have the judgment, and I think most people know that I have the work ethic to do this job well. And I look forward. Can I say this?
You know, you should be careful what you ask for.
People wonder whether Senator Farioli and I will get along. We will get along fine.
Well, you've certainly had enough time to iron that out in 20 years.
Madam Chair, at the risk of looking like I'm insisting on the last word, I wanted to particularly mention service on the Legislative Commission on Indian Services.
Yes.
Because treaty rights and tribal interests intersect with all the other interests that we'll deal with while we're wrestling with the power plan and the conservation updates and the fish and wildlife issues. I believe I can speak for both of us when I say we are ready to relinquish our seniority in the favor of others who will remain behind. We have experience working across the aisle. We served at a time when the legislature was evenly divided as caucus leaders. That was an invaluable experience, I think. We will be serving at the pleasure of the governor. I want to make sure people understand. We have advised folks for many years who've come before the Rules Committee that they serve at the pleasure of the governor. So that's something I think we can reasonably assert. And I believe it's incumbent on us, at least I'm certain, that we must announce an actual conflict of interest before I may vote in this committee today, because this is a lucrative position. It comes with compensation. So it isn't a potential conflict of interest, and it is not out of an abundance of caution. This is an actual conflict. So I wanted to put it on the record.
Okay. I think probably before we vote is another opportunity to put that on the record. All right. Questions from the committee? What's left of the committee? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have several questions.
I imagine
I'm not going to miss
do.
The opportunity, and Senator Byers will roll his eyes as soon as I start talking. He'll recognize what I'm talking about. Thank you, Madam Chair. Gentlemen, have either of you read Ted Koppel's book, Lights Out?
No.
I have not read the book. I actually received the book relatively shortly. I actually listened to his entire presentation at an NCSL meeting, so I know the underlying issues presented in the book.
So do you want it in audio or do you want it in paper? You have the paperback.
I have a paperback. I have a signed copy.
So if I get you the audio, you'll listen to it.
Yes, I will.
Senator?
I'd like it in writing, please.
You'd like it in writing. Well, Madam Chair, the importance and the reason I raise this, and Senator Byers is familiar with this, is that in my committee on emergency preparedness and in some of the work Senator Byers has done, I mean, we don't have a diversified power system. We're very dependent on a grid that through telecommunications and computerization supports us well today. The wrong power pole goes down and the wrong transformer goes out and we don't have electricity. And in some cases, we may not have electricity, as you're about to find out in your new position, for 6 months if that happens. And so the importance of a future plan the two of you will develop that addresses a diversified power system, that ensures that if there's a catastrophic emergency or even a simple failure at the Celilo electronic switch station in your district, Senator, that if that failure happens, we have the capacity to continue to deliver power and life-saving to the state. Mr. Koppel has actually done a very good summary of it, but I think Senator Byer is aware of this. I'm aware of this. You're going to find out in your new capacity that his book is not even the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of planning that needs to be done, and unfortunately a lot of budgeting and cost analysis that needs to be done to ensure our power grid into the next 25 years. So I will get you both copies of the book as a learning experience for professional development for your new job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Senator. Boquist. Other questions or comments from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay, next, State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, James Taylor.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Fioroli and other members of this committee. My name is James Taylor, and I'm very honored to be with you in regards to my appointment to the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. I graduated from Linfield College in 1979, and I've been a resident of Oregon since then. Professionally, I've worked for over 30 years in the banking industry, financing commercial businesses and commercial real estate projects. Having traveled to every corner of the state, what I've learned about Oregon and what makes it a state that thousands want to visit and reside here, besides our great environment, it's not the capital projects that I financed, it's the people, our citizens. In order for us to continue to have a revered state, I sincerely believe all of our residents need to be strong contributors to our society. This idea of all citizens positively participating led me over the last two decades to serve on the board of Habitat for Humanities, volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and for the last 3 years serving on the board of the Audit Committee for the Oregon Youth Authority.
Leanne Blakey.
During this particular time, I visited many facilities, met with many public and private partners of the OYA, as well as staff. What I learned is that there are many dedicated professionals working to make Oregon a better place, and that there are individuals in those facilities ready to rejoin our community and be positive contributors to the Oregon we all love. These are the experiences that have led me to dedicate the next phase of my career to working within the criminal justice system. My future role on the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision is an important one that I take very seriously. I look forward to working with my colleagues to make sound decisions on behalf of the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The Public Safety Standards and Training Board, Elizabeth Lawrence.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Senator Ferrioli. My name is Elizabeth Lawrence, and I come to you from Bend, Oregon today. I'm very fortunate to grow up in Bend at a time when the population was 10,000 people and the mill whistle dictated when you ate lunch and when your parents came home from work. I've been fortunate enough to work for the Bend Police Department for 26 years, but I say that not lightly because I knew at 13 that's where I was going to work and that's where I was going to retire. So having that goal in mind, I went to Western Oregon University, where I graduated with my bachelor's degree. And at the time, getting a job in law enforcement was a little difficult, so I segued, and I worked down in Los Angeles for the Department of Defense at TRW Space and Defense for about 5 years. And I was able to come back after getting some life experience and work for the Bend Police Department. I've been very fortunate. I've been a corporal. I'm currently a sergeant. I run the mental health unit and the school resource officers. And what I can say when we talk about sense of service, if you've ever spent any modicum of time with your school resource officers, you know how much they care for your kids and how much time they put into their schools. And the same for mental health. There are lines of communication now between myself and the hospital, Deschutes County Behavioral Health. Those conversations would have never happened in the past if it wasn't for opening up lines of communication and caring about those that are very vulnerable in our community with mental illness and the ability to give them a stable platform. I've also had the experience of being a field training officer. I've taught at Central Oregon Community College, and I also sit on the Homeless Leadership Coalition board, and so I've had an opportunity to work with a variety of people. I don't take my certifications lightly as a police officer. I know that my community puts a trust in me that is invaluable, and they want me to make the right decisions, and they want me to be dependable and trustworthy. And those are the things that I believe my colleagues should be too. We should be held to a higher standard. We should be. The power that law enforcement officials have should not be taken lightly and should not be misused and should not abuse the community's trust in us. And to wear that badge is a huge honor. So I'm very interested in working with this board for BPSST to review certifications, to make sure that people are complying, that people are upholding the standards that you expect as citizens of this great state that we live in. And about volunteerism, I work for St. Charles Medical Center as a volunteer with therapy dog, Marshall. He makes visits with me also to Sage Psychiatric Facility. I also wrote a proposal to bring him to work in my mental health unit, and he also serves in the community of Bend. Thank you so much for giving me your time, and I know time is short, so any questions?
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Thank you. Okay, the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board, Horace Barnes.
No, we've been behind, Madam Chair. It's been after 5 o'clock.
Chair Burdick and members of the Rules Committee, my name is Forrest Barnes. I'm from Albany, Oregon. I reside in Senate District 8 and House District 15. I thank you for the opportunity to appear as a nominee for the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board. I've worked in the manufactured housing industry since 1987 and held positions of responsibility in sales, quality, and operational management. I look forward to the opportunity to serve both the people of Oregon and the manufactured housing industry as a member of the Manufactured and Residential Structures Board. Thank you.
Thank you. Oops, committee's gone. Rest of the committee, questions?
No, I thought about asking about mini houses, but I won't.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The Board of Trustees for Southern Oregon University, Jansin Nihipali.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators of the Committee. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. Aloha kakou. For the record, my name is Shansden Nihipali. I am a fourth-year student at Southern Oregon University and a resident of Ashland. I am majoring in business administration, and I am also pursuing an additional certificate in nonprofit management. I would like to point out that SOU trustee Mr. Daniel Santos came here today in support of my appointments hearing, along with Vice President Craig Morris and Gene Stallman in Government Affairs, who are also here supporting me today. SOU has been a place of tremendous growth for me, both academically, professionally, and as a human being. Being a first-generation college student, I was unsure of what to expect out of college and was unsure of what type of involvement to pursue on campus. But now, being in front of you today as a nominee for the SOU Board of Trustees, I still pinch myself that this is actually happening. In addition to many other positions, I have served as the student representative on the SOU University Planning Board, a student coordinator for the First Year Mentor Program, an admissions radar ambassador, and the chair of the SOU Polynesian Education Conference. I am also the student representative on the University Strategic Planning Committee. SOU is filled with opportunities for its students to pursue anything they can set their minds to and provides the support and mentorship for students to succeed. We've been working on a strategic plan for nearly a year now, and it's almost finished. Having been part of this process since it began, I am confident it will continue to support the learners of today and those of the future. I look forward to continuing my participation in advancing the institution as a student, a trustee, and someday alumnus. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you for volunteering. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Teacher practice, Standards and Practices Commissions will take David Bruner, Todd Turner, and Martha Gross, and then we'll take the fourth one by phone.
Good afternoon, Senator Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee. Thank you so much for the opportunity to meet with you in person. My name is Alan Bruner. I'm one of the few strange people who actually goes by middle name rather than first. My apologies to the committee. I am a lifelong educator here in the state of Oregon. I started my career in the smallest public entity in Clackamas County 28 years ago. I am still in the smallest public entity in Clackamas County 28 years later. It is a privilege to teach our future here in the state. And as I look at my interest in serving at the TSPC, what I see bluntly is something that shows up in the Charlotte Danielson framework that some of you may be familiar with. That, in fact, is a major document that is used to assess teacher performance. And there's a domain, an entire area of sets of proficiencies that deal specifically with professional give back, if you will, to the profession. And after 28 years, it's time to give back. So what I am interested in doing, and the reason I want to serve on this board, is this gives me a way to not only influence the profession moving forward, but more importantly, it gives us the opportunity to make sure that our students receive the best possible education. I'm happy to take any questions from the committee.
We'll take the whole panel and then open it for questions.
Okay.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Senator Burdick and the other esteemed senators on the committee. My name is Martha Gross, and I'm a third grade teacher with Portland Public Schools in Southeast Portland. I'm honored and humbled to be here as a nominee to serve on the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. For the past 27 plus years, I've lived in Northeast Portland with my husband Richard and our three sons, Jonah, Ethan, and Ezra. All three of our sons attended Portland Public Schools and Oregon Public Universities and are now on their own in successful careers. When my children were in elementary school, I was approached by the principal of their school to take a science training and then teach an after-school science program. And who would have thought that this would be a life-changing event? I certainly didn't. My life experiences as a mom, a volunteer firefighter, search and rescue team member, neighborhood emergency team leader, Multnomah County amateur radio emergency service team member, neighborhood association president, and much, much more have all contributed to who I am today. All of this and in attending OSU, Go Beavers, as a graduate student at Lewis and Clark, earning my MAT, prepared me to be the kind of teacher I had hoped for my own children. I raise my children and I try to live my life in a way that gives back to my community for the gift of living in such a wonderful place. I am hopeful that you will approve my nomination to TSPC and give me the opportunity to continue to serve.
Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, other esteemed senators, my name is Todd Turner, and I'm an assistant professor of instructional technology and literacy at Portland State University, and I'm a nominee for the TSPC committee. I come to you today, and I want to share a little bit about my own educational philosophy. As I said, I'm a professor of literacy, and I believe that being able to read and write in our digital age is of the utmost importance. I believe right now in education we have this mantra of college and career ready, and something that I have in my classroom and I really push for is this idea that we also have to bring this civic side to that as well. It's not just college and career ready, but it's this whole active participation in society, and that's a central tenet of my teaching that we go forward in my classroom with. And I work with pre-service and in-service teachers in PPS and around the state. I'm a resident of Southeast Portland. And my interest in TSPC is that I believe teachers need to be held to the highest standards. And I reflect that with my work right now. I'm a member of the Council of Accreditation of Education Programs, and I'm a site visitor, which means I go out to colleges around the nation to ensure that they have the highest standards. And I want to bring that expertise home to Oregon. I appreciate this nomination, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? All right, thank you.
I'm going to ask questions.
Okay, all right.
I'll take over grandfather's position. two of us up here are on the latest go-round of approving the non-funding of the quality education model. And I'll admit in public, even at our last hearing, I hadn't read the report yet because I'm not an education type in this building. I'm a revenuer. Which you can guess, all three of you now, your minds are going, wait a minute, this is the guy who's supposed to raise taxes to pay for education. A day does not go by when we have an appointment on the floor from this particular commission in which somebody doesn't stand on the Senate floor and talk about how we don't have any standards and how we have somehow teachers out there that get away with stuff. I guess my question, having said that, is that you're the new appointees coming in, and all three of you actually made very good, professional, articulate presentations, which is exactly what we need on this commission. My question to you is, based on being educators and being participatory and being of the mind to culture individuals to make them succeed, do the three of you still think you have the ability to discipline your fellow teachers to make sure that other individuals in your profession are doing their professional best, since, as you well know, we are 48th in the nation?
Senator, yeah.
Surprised you jumped up first.
I like the ball in my hand. Okay. As a father-to-be, my fiancée is pregnant with twins in the back. I assure you that I will uphold and I will call out when I feel that teachers are not living up to the expectations that we have. And furthermore, I support Oregon's 40-40-20 plan, and I believe that there's a connection that you need quality teachers in order to achieve that plan.
Great, thanks.
Thanks.
Madam?
I might add that I treat my children the way my students, I call them my children, but the way I would want my children to be treated. And I expect no less from any other teacher out there. So I agree we need very, very high standards. These kids are our future.
Chair Burdick, Senator Boquist, what you're commenting on is a very complicated issue. Your simple question was, can we discipline? The answer is yes. The complication arises looking at a system that has, in some places, a revolving door in administration, that educational leadership is a major piece that provides for the system to function properly. And I know one of the mandates of TSPC is not just teachers, it's administrators as well. Accountability is incredibly important because you're right. Every educator in the state is well aware of where we are, and it's not where we need to be. And the fact is, we as a state need to hold our own accountable.
I would agree with you on the administration and teachers. The challenge that we face and we're going to face in the future, and several of us have been tasked to face this again, is trying to develop a funding mechanism in the future
for a educational system in which the public needs to know that it's getting 110% from its legislators, its administrators, and its teachers. And unfortunately, the largest pool of those are teachers, and that's where the focus has been. And so keep in mind, I agree 110% with you. It's just that the problem we have is when you go to the public to try and do something, as you know, because you guys are familiar with 5 and 50, is that they point to whatever reason, to the union, to the teachers, or anything else. And if we don't work together, as you just pointed out, we're not going to make the system better. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. And I'll excuse you. We're going to take our fourth by the phone. Jessica Klassen?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and with me is Vice Chair Senator Farioli and the other members of the committee. So welcome, and please give us a few words on why you want to be on the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Burdick and senators. My name is Jessica Klassen. I'm from Northeast Portland, and it is my hope to join the TSCC Commission. I wish to do this because the work this commission does is integral to the success of our teacher workforce and subsequently to the success of our students. We have to maintain high standards and provide the training and support required for teachers and teacher candidates to meet those standards. And I feel as if I'm uniquely qualified to this committee, as my experience gives me a multifaceted perspective into teacher preparation. I have experience on both sides of teacher training, having taught in an MAT program and having hosted multiple student teachers. I've been part of conversations about what it means to provide a rigorous course of study and have direct knowledge of what a teacher candidate needs to be successful in a classroom. But in addition, in my 13 years of classroom experience, I've seen the needs of students evolve. I've also seen the world change in what it needs from a high school graduate. Our educators need to be prepared to continue to grow with our students' needs, and it's at the TSPC where we set the foundation for this growth, and it would be my honor to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Jessica, were you listening earlier to the online? You weren't. I asked a question of your future three colleagues who will be on the commission, and so I want to be fair and make sure I ask you the same question, and I'll just boil it down to this. One of the responsibilities of the commission, of course, is to administer discipline to teachers and administrators within the system. Do you feel comfortable, and do you feel you have the qualifications to evaluate fairly those sorts of cases and to administer discipline when necessary to administrators and other teachers across the state?
Absolutely, yes. I do feel that process is absolutely necessary, number one. And I feel that I am somebody who is able to weigh facts and able to think and take my time and come to, a balanced, reasonable decision on issues like that. Even though I know sometimes they can be tough and sensitive, I do feel like it's something I could handle.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Wonderful, thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Next is the Oregon Transportation Commission, Robert Van Brocklin. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and members of the committee. So my name is Bob Van Brocklin, and as the chair noted, I've been nominated to serve on the Oregon Transportation Commission by the governor, subject to your advice and consent and confirmation of that appointment. I'm a Montana native, I should say, but I was raised in Oregon. I moved here when I was with my family when I was nine. I grew up in Portland, attended public schools in Oregon through college, and actually went to law school here at the public law school in Eugene, where my My advisor was Dave Frenmeyer, who's a longtime friend of mine. We miss him a lot. And great advisor and great public servant. After college, I worked in the U.S. Senate on the staff of former Senator Packwood, Bob Packwood. And after law school, I returned to Washington and worked on the staff of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. Following that, I returned to Oregon, and I worked as Director of Government Affairs for a few years at the urging of a few people I'd worked with in Washington, including a couple of members of the congressional delegation from Oregon, and in particular, Congressman Wendell Wyatt, whose son was in that position, Bill Wyatt, just before me, and Wendell introduced me to Bill. And Wendell's point was, you can practice law later. We need someone with your familiarity with the federal system in this position, since my son's leaving it, and you would be good at it. So I did that for 4 years, and during that time, there was a lot of work done in transportation, because we were at the precipice of doing the Banfield Light Rail Line and expanding the I-84 corridor from 4 to 6 lanes and putting light rail on top of the bus mall, the transit mall in downtown Portland. That required a lot of cooperation with all levels of government, the federal government, because they were paying for In those years, they were paying for 90% of the, which is no longer the reality, sadly for us, 90% of the highway portion and about 80 to 85%, depending on how you counted it. Because I had worked in the Congress and knew a number of people on the relevant committees as well as our delegation, I was asked to represent the region and the state by the mayor and the governor and for a number of cycles of funding for those projects before committees that I was familiar with, the Senate and House Appropriations Committee. Senator Hatfield was a person I'd known for a long time, back to grade school, actually, and said nothing to do with family ties or anything. I'd just been interested in government and had the chance to meet him and Congressman Acoin in the House. So I became very familiar not only with the levels of government and cooperating, but with and the level of detail in putting a program like that in place and getting it funded, and the need to have a lot of collaboration, a lot of openness, a lot of visibility between the governmental units into how that worked. Not only key state legislators who were involved in transportation, the governor's office, the mayor's office, the county board of Multnomah County in particular, but also the other two counties, and of course the Portland region, at least at that time, had 24 cities, a number of which, particularly on the east side, were very interested, particularly Gresham, on how all that was going to work. So I was dealing with a lot of these entities, well, all of the ones I just named, including ODOT and TriMet and Metro. After that service for the city, I went into private law practice at my firm, Stoll Reeves, and I've been at Stoll Reeves for 31 years. And I would say, both from my own governmental experience and from the ethic of citizen service in my law firm, and just the person that I hope I am, I've always been interested in public service and in how citizens can make a difference. And I think that's reflected in a lot of others who were my partners, including Hardy Myers, Greg McPherson, Gail Ackerman, Henry Hewitt, the latter two of whom served on the Oregon Transportation Commission. And I believe both of them chaired the Transportation Commission. So that is my history. To the question why I'm interested, I'm really interested for three reasons. I'm interested because I think, as I mentioned, it's important for citizens of our state to participate in their government. And serving on the OTC, given the background I've just reviewed with you, I think is a way for me to do that in a meaningful way. And I'll get to how meaningful in a minute. I also have the federal and Oregon transportation policy planning and funding background that I've mentioned. And finally, the last reason is because, thanks to all of you, we now have in place an historic transportation package that needs careful implementation. The Oregon Transportation Commission has an important role in that, and I think my background would allow me to be a good member of the commission and help the commission do its work.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the commission? Committee. Senator Bogus.
Question of the commissioner.
Yes.
Thank you, please. Madam Chair. How much time do you have?
How much time do I have currently or for the next 4 years?
You've got two architects of the Transportation Commission.
I mean, we actually literally, and I can be called out if I'm wrong here because people were sitting in the room, we've actually had discussions of, you know, how do we structure the commission? Do we make it even a full-time person on the commission? Because what we have just done is going to fail if the commission does not get more active, more participatory, and show more leadership. And that's really a time factor, not a reflection of the individuals that are there.
Yeah.
It's just they're being asked to do a lot more. And the question I have is, it does say you were just the past, I think, leading firm partner. Do you have the time to put towards the commission to make the transportation package that just passed successful?
Yes. And I can elaborate if you'd like.
But
I want to be conscious.
That's a good answer.
Well, typically the commission. Unlike this is very different from any other commission. This is a multi-billion-dollar per year budget out there, and we have just committed some of our souls, if not our political careers, to the thing being a success. And if it fails, it's because the commissioners don't do their job. Unlike everything else. Okay.
All right.
And that's just going to take time. I mean, you've got the experience. It takes time. That's it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again, Chair.
Great to see you. Okay. The Trust for Cultural Development Board, Theo Downs Le Guin, and then we'll take the other one by phone. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, senators and members of the committee. I'm Theo Downs Le Guin. I live in Portland in District 21. Thank you for considering me for the Oregon Cultural Trust Board. I was born in Portland and have lived in Oregon most of my life. During all that time, I've been involved in the arts as a student, as a performer, as an audience member, as a volunteer patron, and as a professional. The Oregon Cultural Trust plays a vital role in advancing the interests of artists and supporting artists and the organizations that support and present those artists, and also in inspiring and diversifying audiences for the arts throughout the state. I'd very much like to use my experience to advance that cause. Thank you.
Thank you. Le Guin is an unusual name, and there is another artist by that name. Is there any relation?
Yes. That's my mother.
That's what
and my father, who is equally responsible for leading me into the arts today.
So. Welcome to the committee. I'm a great admirer of
Thank
your
you.
Mom. Okay, questions from the committee? Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, next we have on the phone George Kramer. Mr. Kramer.
Yes.
I'm Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and with me is Vice Chair Senator Farioli and the other members of the committee. Welcome, and please give us a little about your background and your desire to serve on the Trust for Cultural Development Board.
Thank you very much, Senator Burdick and Senator Farioli and members of the committee. My name is George Kramer. I live in Ashland and am represented by Senator Alan DeBoer and Representative Pam Marsh. My involvement with the Cultural Trust goes back to testifying before Senator Ben Westland and the task force that the Joint Task Force that was created to consider options for culture in Oregon. As a longtime heritage supporter, I thought then that merging the arts, humanities, and heritage under a single umbrella made sense. I still do. We are stronger when we work together and we build upon our common interests. I think the Trust continually proves itself to be one of those great Oregon big ideas, like the bottle bill, public beaches, and vote by mail, that make us who we are. And having watched the Trust grow and develop over the last 15 years, I am honored to have been nominated to serve on its board, and I look forward, with your consent, to the opportunity to play some role in its future. I hope that by living in Southern Oregon and through my familiarity with the heritage community, I can be of some value to the Cultural Trust Board. And finally, I would like to thank your committee staff and the governor's appointment staff for their amazing, excellent communication. They've been efficient and friendly throughout this entire process and made it a pleasure. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. The Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service will take the first three, Pablo Brito, Ross Cornelius, and Jorge Cruz.
Hello and good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Feroli. My name is Pablo Brito, and I am applying for the position with the Commissioner of Oregon Volunteers. I currently work with an urban reforestation and nonprofit organization called Friends of Trees in the Portland metro area, and I've also had a previous experience working with a bicycle co-op shop and skills center here in Salem, just down the street off of Broadway. And I'm actually an alumnus of the AmeriCorps program as well. I served at Chemeketa Community College for a full term back in 2015-2016, and I thought that my term of service would end there, but it hasn't. I'm still currently working with volunteers throughout Portland and Salem, and all the way down in Eugene. We have Friend of Trees office down there as well. And so I'm eager to learn more about what Oregon Volunteers does and support them in any way that I can from my previous experience with being an AmeriCorps alumnus and other nonprofit experience as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Burdick, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Ross Cornelius. I am a 34-year resident of Portland, Oregon, and reside in Senator Burdick's district. I am currently the client services manager at Walsh Construction, and have a variety of corporate backgrounds with Boise Cascade real estate development firms, as well as public sector involvement with a state agency here, the Housing and Community Services Agency, as well as the Portland Development Commission. I've also been a volunteer leader of a number of service trips with youth. One of the highlights of my life. Really enjoyed that. I've also been honored to be involved in helping develop intergenerational adoptive communities for foster kids that involve a lot of volunteerism on the part of the elder members of the community. I've seen the impact of volunteerism on not only the community and the people that benefit from it, but particularly the volunteers themselves and the benefits that they experience from that effort and volunteerism. I hope to apply my corporate and organizational background and experience to a commission to help make a very supportive and encouraging environment for others to involve themselves in volunteerism in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Broderick and Senator Ferroli and the rest of the Senate. My name is Jorge Cruz. I live in Portland, grew up in North Portland, to be exact. I attended Portland Public Schools. I am currently a director of programs at Metropolitan Family Service, a nonprofit in metro area in Portland, concentrated most of our services in East County, in Multnomah County, with schools. I oversee the community schools program for the Portland Metropolitan Family Service. I believe I could be a strong candidate for this commission, and because that's what started my career in nonprofit and in youth work, was volunteering back when I started off in high school and giving back to community. I believe that once one who can provide service for themselves who are volunteering, we can appreciate their time and hold that to a really strong value for them. And I hope to provide that type of influence and also encourage more community members of the same community to invest in their community by giving back and passing it on. So I'm a strong believer that in order to know where you're going, you need to know where you come from. And I hope that I can provide that type of influence to this commission. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Questions?
Thank you for volunteering again.
Yep. And the other two nominees for this panel are Adele McAfee and Elias Villegas Placentia.
And how that one worked.
We're about to find out, Madam Chair.
Let's try to go first.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Elias Villegas Placentia, and I am the dean of the Chemeketa Community College Woodburn Center. I have been working for Chemeketa for 16 years and 12 years in Woodburn. I believe that my background in education and human services can benefit the Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. Our state needs more leaders who will stand up, show up, and speak up in support of providing better opportunities and possibilities for all Oregonians. I would not be standing here today if it were not for the access I had to a public education. I would not be standing here if it were not for the teachers, counselors, and mentors who encouraged me to obtain a college education. I would not be leading a community college center if it were not for those who came before me and opened the doors of opportunity. I draw my desire to serve from a statement that I read when I was in college, and I quote, "We cannot seek achievement for ourselves and forget about the progress and prosperity of our community. Our ambitions must be broad enough to include the needs and aspirations of others." I would be thrilled and honored to have the opportunity to serve on the Commission for Voluntary Service and apply my skills, knowledge, and abilities to improve our community and our state. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. My name is Adele McAfee, and I'm from the city of Bend. If confirmed, I will be fulfilling the local government position on the commission. I have worked for the city of Bend for 12 and a half years, and I've also served as Lapine City Councilor, and I had the honor of building the local government foundation of Oregon's newest city, which was not easy. So I have a unique experience of working on both sides of the table. I have served on several policy committees for the First Forest Service, and it is my understanding, if I'm confirmed, that I will be the first commission member to serve from the east side of the state. Mm-hmm. I believe in service and acknowledge the critical role volunteer organizations play in filling the gap of limited government resources and the needs of the community, both in education and social services. I'm also interested in continuing the work on the commission has done on developing a disaster response at the community level. I would like to support and make every effort to assure that these organizations have the resources they need in the event that they have to respond to a major disaster in their local communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, now we have the Water Resources Commission, Michael Fott.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Perioli, and committee members, and thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. Wow, that was the first time I think I've heard that in a while, so thank you. First, let me say it's an honor to be a nominee for appointment to the Water Resource Commission Southwest Region. I'm very impressed with the work the Water Commission and staff have accomplished to date. If appointed, I look forward to working with the six other commissioners, stakeholders, Director Beiler and his outstanding staff, and of course the legislative body on important water-related issues. having recently retired, and I'm very excited about that part, for a public service of which 17 years I was a public works director in small communities. I'm interested in becoming a member of the Water Resource Commission because of my passion for water issues, as well as my desire to stay involved in important statewide water-related issues in my retirement years. I feel that my experience in long-term planning, staffing, infrastructure, rate structures in three communities, Ontario, Staten, and finally my last 9 years in Ashland as a public works director, as well as my experience in severe drought response while I was in Ashland. We had 2 years of severe drought, and we certainly learned the value of limited water at that point with that community. I think I can add value to the water resource team. With that, I can answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? No questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got the public members of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Janet Lee and Liza Jane McAllister.
Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senate committee members. I'm very honored to be nominated for OWEB. I've got quite a history.
Put your name on the record.
Pardon?
Can you put your name on the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should know better than that. My name is Jan Lee, and I'm from Sandy, Oregon, from House District 52. I started working with OWEB before it was actually an agency and helped as a lobbyist at the time write some of the legislation. Since then, I've been on some of the advisory committees and attended meetings, et cetera. My background is as a board member of Soil and Water Conservation Districts with Clackamas SWCD currently. And I've also been on watershed councils, both on the west and east side of the mountains. So I think that what I bring in experience will be of help to OWEB. In my career, I work in water policy and also in renewable energy, so I look forward to working with Senator Farioli. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, and honorable senators of the committee. Also, Aaron, I'd like to thank you for supporting me getting here. My name is Liza Jane McAllister, and I'm a nominee for a board position on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. I'm a fourth generation cattle rancher, and I own and operate the Six Ranch, which is located in Wallowa County. My great-grandparents homesteaded our ranch in 1884, and it's designated as a century ranch. I work with my two adult children. My son is a fishing and hunting guide, and my daughter is a professional chef and a cowboy. The Wallowa River runs through the middle of our ranch and is designated as critical habitat for three ESA listed species of fish: spring chinook, summer steelhead, and bull trout. For the past 10 years, we've been actively involved in a collaborative project to restore fish and riparian habitat on our property. Within a month of finishing phase one of our project, we had Chinook salmon spawning in the river for the first time we're aware of for at least 30 years. This year, the Six Ranch was honored by the Oregon State Land Board Stream Project Award for our habitat restoration. I'm very fortunate to live and work in such a beautiful part of the state. I believe strongly that we all have an obligation to take care of the land, the water, and the animals that take care of us. I also believe that agriculture, conservation, and recreation can coexist. I would be honored to join the board of directors of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and appreciate your consideration. I also drove about 400 miles to get here, so I would like one of you to ask me a question.
I was going to ask it anyway. Okay. How long did it take you to get through that phase one, where you got salmon coming back for the very first time?
I'll answer it broadly. It took us about 20 years when we first wanted to restore the river till we started the project. But once we built the new channel, moved the river, it was about 2 weeks before the salmon came in and spawned.
So you moved the river?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you have to move the river?
Why? Oh, after World War II and all that big equipment came back, we often channelized rivers. So through our stretch, to protect the highway and the railroad, they channelized it completely straight through the whole ranch, believing that they were doing the right thing. And so what we believe the right thing was to put it back in its bed and then create more meanders. So we took about 8/10 of a mile in the first project and turned it into 1 1/3. And then last year we finished another mile of the river. You're welcome to come visit and see it anytime.
It's not hard for me to accept an invitation in that part of the world.
Yeah.
You've never been to my place. Just up the road from her.
I never got invited.
Who invited you?
She invited me.
Where are you?
I'm in Flora.
Oh, you aren't.
Well, some of the time.
No, I'm not there right now. You're right.
He has a little ranch there.
Really?
But I was thinking your property is the railroad piece that went through your land. So I was looking at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know where my ranch is. Yeah.
He's actually great. Your ride home.
Well, good.
I'm at the maintenance station. I'm next to Rocking 11. Lathrop's nice share property.
Oh, okay.
Off the maintenance station on the Shamrock.
Right. I rode out there. Yeah. Yeah.
I was out there in the snow with a cow. It's not easy.
Uh-huh. Wow. Soon. Soon.
Yeah. Old home week.
Yeah.
And is grazing an issue out there in terms of the habitat?
Phase one, we were required, I think, to enroll in the CREP program, and there's no grazing allowed in the entire project. It's not successful, and no one's happy with the results of that, mainly for the reed canary grass, which is invasive. So phase two, although it delayed the project for a year and we almost could not do it, I insisted that we graze it. And so it's been 2 years. Next year we'll start grazing the riparian habitat to use cattle as a tool to create the environment that we want.
But then you'll have to fence it, won't you?
It's fenced, but we're going to put cattle inside the fence to create the habitat that we want.
They've already done one of the things you need to do is just de-channelize the river.
Yeah.
And it makes it harder for the cattle to mess all the stuff up.
Yeah. I also raise a breed of cattle that's Corriente. They're about 1/3 the size of conventional cattle, and they really choose high ground, drink less, and have a lower impact. So it's a good fit.
Okay, for the goals. Great. Other questions?
Here.
Senator Farioli.
Thank you so kindly.
Actually, just appreciation. The top-down management model using computer projections and computer models is very effective for some phases, but in terms of revitalizing the grasses and forbs, putting in biodiversity, excluding invasive species and a host of other techniques of management well known to ranchers, without those practices being integrated, what you get is vectoring and a short-term apparent success and a long-term failure. So the solution is going to be, continues to be, engagement by the local landowner who knows the cycles and is willing to put their expertise as well as their equity to work for restoration. We're seeing it in salmonid habitat restorations, sage grouse, wolves. Pretty much every success that we have for restoration has to do with engaging the landowner population in listening. So, you know, to succeed, you got to cowboy up. And I really appreciate hearing a story like that that illustrates the success that can happen when our good intentions and their knowledge base gets connected. So thanks for bringing it.
Thank you.
Hope that was worth the 400 miles.
It was worth it. I do hope to be a model for our example through the Watershed Enhancement Board so that what we did, I could be part of making that happen across the state. So it's
Madam Chair, there's a whole book between the place where it almost became impossible for the landowner to go forward against the resistance of the agency people charged with the outcome. Mm-hmm. So when you have those kind of conflicts, if they don't get resolved in a way that sustains the landowner, landowners won't participate.
Yes.
So there's a takeaway.
Yeah.
And she really didn't talk about it, but she spoke volumes.
Thank you.
This sounds like a legislative field trip to me.
Oh, good. Good.
Absolutely. So I hope you could sweep out your bunkhouse.
Okay, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Last board, Board of Trustees of Western Oregon University, Gail Evans. The very patient Gail Evans.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, and members of the committee. My name is Gail Evans, and I am honored to be a nominee for the Western Oregon University Board of Trustees, member at large. I am interested in this position as a near lifelong Oregonian. I moved here in 1972 with my divorced mother and my other siblings, and grew up in poverty, and went on to become a first-generation college graduate. And this is much of the student population at Western Oregon fits that profile. So I was very interested when this opportunity came up because I would very much like to encourage and support these fellow Oregonians. I work in business. I'm a senior leader with Unitas Community Credit Union in Portland, Oregon. And in that role, I'm also encouraged to serve in the community. And I've done so with Oregon Business Association leading the Health Policy Committee, representing private purchasers of health care, and the same on the board of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. I am accustomed to working with large, complex organizations throughout my career, dealing with big problems with many stakeholders, and I would be honored to serve in the capacity of a trustee, and I can assure you that I understand public meeting rules and how to be a good board member, well-prepared, and fully engaged in the mission of the organization. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Did any of your siblings also attend college?
Thank you, Senator. My sister completed her bachelor's degree in nursing and went back for her master's in teaching just 2 years ago, graduated, and I've completed my master's in organizational leadership. So I know what opportunities education can bring. And I also understand the ties to health and public health and education and poverty are big players in social determinants of health, which I've learned a lot about in my many years of working with health policy in Oregon. So that's just a second layer to my interest in volunteering in higher education.
Thank you. Western Oregon does an amazing job with that population. I know a few people there. Yeah. Okay, questions from the committee?
No. Thank you, Madam.
Okay, that is it for our public hearing. We will stand at ease for about 2 minutes. On the record here. So now I will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following commission, to the following positions, boards, and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Ming Brink, Scott Wright, and Nancy Young Oliver to the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Anthony Jordan and Elizabeth Waddell to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Samrayat Bayazan to the Commission for the Blind, Kale Zushlag to the Building Code Structure Board, Catherine Lamb to the Oregon Business Development Commission, Esther Chu, Rachel Knox, Patrick Ludke, Andre Uso, Jesse Sweet, and Anthony Taylor to the Oregon Cannabis Commission, Denise Loredich to the Governor's Child Foster Care Advisory Commission, John Flagel to the Electrical and Elevator Board, Susanna Alba to the Employment Appeals Board, Marsha Moyer and Celeste Pellicci to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, Gary Allen, Adrian Irwin, and Lene Lindsay to the Health Evidence Review Commission, Jennifer Wielander to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee, Vanessa Becker to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, April Wick to the Lane Transit District Board, Stephanie Manriquez to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers, Eric Fanning to the Mechanical Board, Andrew Schenck to the Oregon Medical Board, Nancy Felton, Beatrice Gilmore, Angela McKenzie Tucker, Randy Jaden, and Elizabeth Pacheco to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, Joanna Friedman to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine, Cheryl Caddy, Annette Cole, Adrian Inghaus, and Barbara Turnipseed to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Patrick Allen is the director of the Oregon Health Authority. Stacy Chamberlain and Stephen Zika to the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors. Matthew Miletus to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Julie Manning to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University. Richard Devlin and Theodore Ferrioli to the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council. James Taylor to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, Travis Argue to the State Plumbing Board, Elizabeth Lawrence to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, Forrest Barnes to the Residential and Manufacturers Structures Board, Shanzin Neopali to the Board of Trustees of Southern Oregon University, David Bruner, Todd Turner, Jessica Klassen, Alan Contreras, Martha Gross, and Liliana Hernandez to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Robert Van Brocklin to the Oregon Transportation Commission, Theo Downs Le Guin, Natalie Johnson, George Kramer, Kristen Van Dyke, and Gail Yamasaki to the Trust for Cultural Development Board, Pablo Brito, Ross Cornelius, Jorge Cruz, Michael Fieldman, Jean Marie Halleck, Adele McAfee, Dorenda Schubert, Josh Todd, and Elias Villegas Placenciato to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, Michael Fott to the Water Resources Commission, Janet Lee and Liza Jane McAllister to the public members of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Gail Evans to the Board of Trustees of Western Oregon University. Any discussion? Senator Ferrioli.
As the law requires, I have to declare an actual conflict of interest before voting. So let me make that of record. This position is compensated, so it makes it an actual conflict of interest.
Senator Ferrioli has declared an actual conflict of interest that will be entered into the record and also will be reflected on the floor separately. Right. Senator.
So the one name you did not read is that they are not coming up? Diane Keeman.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we did have two individuals who as part of efforts, could not be here today. We are simply going to roll them over to the next convening of the body. We did not want to take them off the agenda just in case schedules changed over the weekend.
Perfect.
Sharp eyes, Senator Roblin. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Good eye.
Any further discussion? Any objection to the motion? If not so ordered, I will be the carrier of this. And I think we just...
Oh, Madam Chair.
What?
This may be my last rules meeting.
Ooh, that's true.
Don't let him speak.
Okay.
I don't need to speak. I just wanted to point out.
Did you want to carry
it? No. I want to say that, you know, this committee is a unique institution. Rules is unlike any other committee in the building. I've appreciated your chairmanship and your willingness to involve me in consideration of the issues that come before rules. I want to thank all of my colleagues, regardless of party affiliation, for their willingness to engage on issues that are very difficult. You all know that what happens in rules at the end of a legislative session is that it becomes the little dustpan. some good bills that are resurrected and some bad little bills that come to die. In any case, it's always an adventure. And I want to thank you for allowing me to share it with you. And to Aaron Seiler and to other members, Samantha and other members of the committee staff, this is a really unique committee, and it's always a challenge. And you heard many unsolicited testimonials to your skill and ability. I'll add my voice. You all do a really remarkable job in helping us look good and helping us deliver the right product at the right time. So thank you very much, Madam Chairman, to you. Thank you for the opportunity of serving.
And thank you, Senator Farioli. We were going to have a steam calliope band.
Oh, good. I'm glad
celebrate.
We missed that.
but I am a superstitious person.
Yeah.
So I didn't want any jinxes played. But should this come to pass, despite jinxes, we just wish you all the best. You certainly have been a strong member of this committee and the other committee where we were chair and vice chair as well.
Yeah, exactly. Salmon Restoration and others.
more accurately, chair and co-chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think we could move the cannabis issue to the Power and Conservation Council?
That would be a good outcome for all.
They're a big consumer of electrical energy.
Yes, they are.
On that note, we're free to adjourn, right? We are adjourned. Right? We are adjourned. On that note, we're free to adjourn.